United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Good day. My name is Nelson Strobert, and welcome to the Seminary Explores. This is a very special time. It is time to say goodbye to my colleague, Jerry Christensen, who recently announced his retirement from the Seminary Explorers. He's been with the program for 44 years, broadcasting and now podcasting. Welcome again to the Seminary Explorers. Since this is his last program, I thought we'd turn the tables and interview him and get his reflections. And let's get right to the heart of the matter. Not the history of the show, but could you share with us what was the goal and the purpose of the show? And what did you try to accomplish with this program?
Oh, I thought we should try to apply the golden rule to broadcasting. I know that doesn't sound very realistic, and it certainly doesn't work with investigative broadcasting, but this was to be a conversation show. So one of the goals was to show compassion to those who came on and wanted to have something to say about themselves and their program, their project. So I stressed listening and not arguing or interrupting. Isn't that refreshing? and then at the same time, to draw out as clearly as we could the community's issues for their own sake.
Okay. Yet the program is called The Seminary Explores. Was it a religious program at all?
Well, not in the usual way, Nelson, as you can probably recognize. Your teacher, your predecessor, and my good friend, Roger Goebel, who founded the program, once said, maybe you heard him say this too, it's not an answer program, it's a question program. And I kind of think he had something going there. I mean, if you think of the gospel writers, St. John, St. Paul, and even Martin Luther, all were explorers. All said that the more certain we are of ourselves, and in the Christian sense, of our redemption, of our own security in the love of God, then the more free we are of our own anxieties, so we can inquire with an open mind and work on community building, which is, I think, one of the most important aspects of human existence.
Exactly. I think in modern terms or contemporary terms, we might say that the show was involved in critical thinking of its participants and its listeners.
Which is exactly what you and I try to do in the classroom, too, wasn't it? Isn't that the one of the main goals of a post-high school education is to engage in critical thinking and to try to convey that to our listeners.
Right. Indeed. Well, in that sense, then, was it just another secular program?
Well, I actually, surprisingly, I wouldn't object to that. But then you got to kind of figure out what I mean by secular. It's not unusual. Martin Luther, for example, said that if he had four sons and four daughters, the best one of the eight of them would become an attorney. What do you think about that? the least talented would become a minister. Because he thought it was one thing to be able simply to preach the gospel, which you just did it, you know, you had it there.
Right.
But an attorney had to figure out how to make community building better and easier. So it's really an extension of the Joel Hanin principle that God so loved the world, and I underline world, when in fact, if we're just doing our business, if somebody changes my tire, or as is much needed right now, fixes our air conditioning, that business is really Christian vocation. It's part of community building. And this is from Goebel too. It's not a Christian vocation is not something above and beyond what we already are or what we already do.
Right. Exactly. And what do you know about our listeners?
Huh. back in our broadcasting days, Nelson, I don't think we knew anything. They didn't take surveys of listeners. But our producer, Don Redman, since we become sophisticated podcasters, has just told us this week, and this is really a wonderful, wonderful coincidence and a tribute, that we've gone over 5,000 hits on our podcast. So I think
that is remarkable.
It is. Yes, it took my breath away. I was quite surprised, as I'm sure you were. You thought,
oh, yeah.
you, me, and our closest friends. You know, but the more I think about what excited me about being on this program was about the people we interviewed rather than the people who were listening. We were, of course, concerned about the people who were listening, but I really enjoyed the people we interviewed. I don't know exactly how the community has accepted us all these years, but I do remember one incident. You may have been there. We were at Torch Club, and I was introduced to the group by the master of ceremonies, who had no introduction. He just asked the question, is anyone here not been on the Seminary Explorers?
Right.
I thought that was a tribute. We try to cover everybody.
Yes. Very true. And just how long has the Seminary Explorers been doing this or been involved in this type of work?
I think it was back in your student days. You remember the Middle Ages? Back about 1970, your teacher, your friend, my friend, Roger Goble, began the program on WGET and WGTY. He was asked to do a devotional program in those days of a half hour. And he said, I don't want to do that, but I want to give you a program, a conversation program on local issues. I came on in 1976 when Roger went on to do other things. And I think I've had a great deal of interest in expanding the interest of the program in music and the arts, together with broad theological topics, as well as the social service projects. And in those days, I did 48 shows a year, 50.
Right.
52 if there was no Christmas or New Year's, until you joined in 1991. That's 30 years ago, my friend. Next year, 30 years ago. And I
thank you for reminding me of that.
Pardon? You don't
want
to hear
that. Thank you for reminding me of that.
if I can say this for you, I think you brought us multicultural and international perspectives. You had in those days and still do a remarkable Rolodex of people who from non-traditional perspectives and social justice issues. And then in 2013, we gave up our little tape recorders, little $25 tape recorders, and we switched from radio to podcasts on our own website.
Right. If you're just tuning in to this podcast, you're listening to the Seminary Explorers. I'm Nelson Strobert, and my guest today is Jerry Christensen, the longtime host who has announced his retirement from this program after 44 years. I'd like to continue by asking you, were you destined for the radio and the internet?
No, not at all. You know, a couple of years ago when you and I had an interview with the late Dick Selby, who had got us started from the manager of WGT, He wanted to point out that he had dreamed of being a radio broadcaster since he was a kid.
Right.
That wasn't your case, I don't think. It certainly wasn't mine. I was called. No. So, like you, I was called, in my case, in the sense of being invited, as you were, specifically by Roger Goble. But I have to say, at the same time, Nelson, it filled a long-standing unconscious dream, listening to people who had something to say. Even if I can slip in this this advertisement, even teaching history, what I've done, I did for 44 years as well, or more, listening to others is what we're trying to do even in history. That is to say, we want to apply the golden rule to the past. If I want people to listen to me, and to take me as authentic, then we should listen to others in the same way we want to be listened to.
Right. Very well said. When you reflect on those 44 years on the Seminary Explorers, could you share with us some of your favorite guests?
Well, you, of course, but
oh, yeah, right.
And we could agree not to do it early in the morning, which is not our favorite time. Well, there were some big names. Ed Rendell, who originally eventually became our governor. President Rhodes of Mount St. Mary Seminary, who eventually became a distinguished bishop. One of my favorites was Millard Fuller, the late Millard Fuller, who was the president, founder and president of Habitat for Humanity. Probably the most interesting guest of all was Abraham Lincoln. Of course, it was it was Jim Getty.
Yeah.
There are listeners today, Nelson, you're maybe among them, who probably thought I went to school with Abraham Lincoln. But a matter of fact, it was actually Jim Getty. But he had great insights about what the world looked like today. And in the same vein, a very charming program once from Santa Claus. It was the beloved Bengt Hoffman, a friend of ours, who pretended to be Santa Claus and look at the world from a perspective. I think right now, however, my favorite programs are the open broadcasts that we have at St. James Church in Gettysburg. That is to
say, when you say open broadcasts,
I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
Well,
we
interview the guest before a live audience, and after the broadcast is over or podcast in 20 minutes, then the group has a chance to participate in the discussion. And it's very enlivening, both for the guest and for me. Other than that, I think the main thing an important point to get back to from your first question. I think we wanted to have people who had credentials. That is, they had some expertise.
Right.
We're not a program open to that's letters to the editor can do that, but we're not a letters to the editor program. We want people with expertise. Students, dignitaries, social service agencies, politicians. But I would try to end the program by asking the personal question, why did you come to this position? What is your sense of vocation?
Oh, okay. Thank you. The next question, I anticipate your response, and that is... the best and worst interviews that you had over the years.
Well, why would you anticipate? You know who I'm going to mention? To tell you the truth, I was more than once criticized for not asking the hard questions. Why didn't you try embarrassing people for the controversial questions? Well, I let the guests make their own case, and eventually they'll probably raise themselves on their own petard. They'll trip themselves up. But the main point is to try to keep it conversational and with a sense of urgency and maybe even some humor. But the important point was to draw out people, even with those of whom we did not disagree. The worst program I had, well, there were two of them, and they were both academics. You're not surprised at that, are you?
No.
They were asked one question at the start of the program, and they were still going when it was time to take a break.
Yeah, that.
Does that sound familiar?
Right. It's less work for the host, but for the listening audience, difficult. Yeah. When you reflect again over these years, are there questions that you wish now that you'd asked?
I don't think. Yes, Nelson, and I think that you could yourself confirm this. I wish I had, and I keep trying to ask the bigger justice questions. The people we have on the program are very much involved in making the world a better place. But there's a difference between helping one person at a time, whether that need is immediate or long run, and trying to raise our sights to the causes of the difficulties that this world might be in. For example, I mean, a generous physician who offers free service to a destitute person, We couldn't go without that.
Right.
It doesn't solve the needs of 30 million Americans who aren't getting decent health care. So, oh, and I often think about Tip O'Neill, the well-known House Speaker of the House from Massachusetts,
right,
who once said he had signed legislation that morning that would offer more housing opportunities for Americans than Habitat Humanity could do in 10 years.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. Thank you. As you reflect, what's in the future for you and the Seminary Explorers?
Well, I hope you and our producer, Don Redman, will allow me to do a program or two, especially those we do before a live audience in the town of Gettysburg. But perhaps the question is better asked of you. What do you see the future being of our podcast? Where are you going now?
Well, I think one of the things is to keep of that the tradition of inquiry and look and continue to look for people with expertise and who have a passion for what they're doing and a sense of vocation. I think those are things I hope that the program continues to do at the local, national, and international levels. And certainly, as we reflect on what's happening in our world today, we are part of this global village, and we are connected. And I hope the Seminary Explorers can continue to help bring about that connectedness that we have. That's what I see.
A couple of months ago, when we first talked about doing this broadcast, you said you would throw in a question somewhere or other without my expecting it about what I think are the justice issues of the day. And when you asked that question 3 months ago, there was the coronavirus hadn't started yet. We didn't mass protests. We did not have headhunting of our American soldiers in Afghanistan. We didn't have widespread investigations of high-level persons in the government. And so now I think what I would have to say to that before I get a chance to ask you what are the big justice questions, I think that the main question for me, and of course everybody's different, is the same as I've said is for this program. How do we get the conversation going again, Nelson? I mean, we've become so polarized that just having decent conversation with one another when we disagree seems to have come to a halt. Where would you stand on the big justice issues of the day?
Well, I think the conversation has come to a halt. And for me, and as I listened to a number of, attended a number of Zoom meetings and lectures via the internet, we still in these United States have to deal with the issue of race. And until we are able to sit down at the table with people who are different, with different ideas than we have, we will continue to deal with injustice. And I think Du Bois said it in the early 20th century, and it continues today. The issue for us is race, and that has come out in so many ways and demonstrated by so many people in the public, for better or for worse. So that becomes my critical issue. That's the critical issue for me. There's a ripple effect as we deal with race. I think we will be able to deal with housing. We will be dealing with voting issues. We'll be dealing with poverty, etc. So I think that's the central point.
Yeah, that's that. When we're talking about searching for basic issues, you put your finger on one of the number ones, if not the number one in America. if it's really true that America is based on all are created equal, if that experiment if that experiment, as Lincoln said, is going to survive, it's going to be because we can truly resolve that one.
Exactly. Exactly. And in some ways, the more things change, the more things stay the same.
Yeah,
And that's the frustration for me. And sometimes I have to admit very openly, I am very angry. And sometimes I cannot speak because of the anger that's within me because of what we're experiencing. So, yeah. Well, I can't believe that we've been talking about the past and even into the future, and we've come to the end of an era, and I have to say openly that it's been an honor and pleasure working with you. Would you sign us off for one more time?
Thank you, United Lutheran Seminary, for sponsoring and encouraging us. Thank you, WGET and WGTY, for those wonderful old Radio Day broadcasts. My, they're worth remembering. Thank you, Roger Goebel, for founding us and inviting me. Thank you, Don Redman, and thank you, Nelson Strobert, for your great capacities and, above all, your companionship. And above all, thank you all for listening. I'm Jerry Christensen. For the Seminary Explorers, have a good day. And since this is my last podcast for a while, have a good life. Goodbye.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers, a production of United Lutheran Seminary, with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.